They're trying to do two books today, and in this lecture number 18, Jeremiah and Lamentations, and Jeremiah wrote both of them, okay? Take a look at the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, we're still in the major prophets. And this book was written by Jeremiah the prophet, son of Hilkiah the priest. So take a look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah of the priest who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Okay, so the Benjamin was one of the southern tribes. And let me get my clock straight here. Okay. And so you have Jeremiah the prophet as the author. Anathoth was the city 2 miles north of Jerusalem. Jeremiah's ministry was approximately from about 627 B.C. to 580 B.C. to Judah. And Judah is the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. This is well after Israel has been taken captive by the Syrian nation. And Jeremiah is writing from 627 to 580 B.C. And it's after good King Josiah's death, four evil kings followed. And this is the time frame when Jeremiah is prophesying. And Jeremiah's message was unpopular. His message was, since Judah will not repent, Babylon will take the nation captive. He wasn't preaching, if you do this and you do that, then God won't let you be taken. He was saying, hey, it's too late. We're beyond the point of no return. Babylon is going to take the nation captive. Now, Jeremiah's first scroll was destroyed by King Jehoiakim. And so then Jeremiah dictated a more complete edition of this book to his secretary Baruch. This is Jeremiah 36, verses 1 to 8, that's mentioned there. Now, Jeremiah is calling Judah to repent from idolatry and immorality, but his message was unpopular. It brought him loneliness, rejection, persecution, and imprisonment. An outline of the book of Jeremiah. His call for the ministry. His call for the ministry in chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. His prophecies to Judah. Prophecies to Judah. Chapters 2 to 45. Prophecies against the Gentiles, chapters 46 to 51, and then the fall of Jerusalem. Is recorded in Isaiah 52. Now, Jeremiah 52, thank you. So, remember now, Jeremiah is writing 627 to 580 B.C. When were the two times that Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians? Anybody remember? 606 B.C. and 586 B.C. So it puts you right in that time frame is where Jeremiah is writing. Okay, so let's take a look at the book of Jeremiah.
I suppose... This was the last year between this call to ministry and prophecies to Judah.
Is there overlap there? In
yeah.
As far as what?
Yeah, the years, or chapter 1, 10, 2.
And no, it's verses 1 through 10. Yeah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, yeah. Okay. Jeremiah is called to the ministry there and says in verse 4, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." This is used a lot to try to disprove abortion. There are good passages that would show that the Bible is against abortion, but this is not one of them. This is God's foreknowledge. God knew Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb, because God is God. He has foreknowledge. He knows us even before we're created. But there are better passages that can be used to disprove abortion. But this is talking about, this passage in its context is talking about God appointing and calling and sending Jeremiah the prophet out to prophesy not only against Judah, but also against the nation. His prophecies to Judah are chapters 2 to 45. There are 12 different messages that are given. They're given in parables and sermons and object lessons. Israel, he condemns Judah, actually. He condemns Judah for empty profession, you know, lip service, paying lip service, professing belief but not really worshiping. And also for immorality and idolatry. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, a cistern was a man-made pool of water. They usually just chopped it out, chipped it away out of rock, and it would collect rainwater, usually through drain pipes. And it was because in Palestine there weren't many wells there. There weren't many rivers or wells. And so you could drink water of these cisterns, but there was polluted water. So you couldn't get that good stream water. You had to get polluted water from a cistern. But a broken cistern, the water just seeps into the ground. It doesn't hold any water at all. So they used to use broken cisterns to throw people, to temporarily imprison them, throw them in there. Joseph was thrown into a broken cistern by his brothers, Joseph with the coat of many colors. Jeremiah himself was later on thrown into a cistern. But what he says is that people forsook the Lord, who is the fountain of living waters, the God of Israel, the only one who can genuinely quench our thirst, and instead they've dabbled in false religion. They've dabbled in idolatry, which will never meet their needs. Look at chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah 25. And verses 11 to 14. You didn't hit the road?
Yeah.
All right.
God bless you, David. All right. And God, Israel, be with
you. Take it easy. Okay, Isaiah. Now, Jeremiah, I'm still in a long book here. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 to 14. And that reads, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and a horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So he predicts that the Babylonian captivity will last for 70 years. When Babylon comes and takes over, they're going to take Israel captive for 70 years. Then the Medes and the Persians are going to come in, they're going to allow the Jews to return to the land. Then it will be, verse 12, "Then it will be when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity. And the land of the Chaldeans," that's Babylon, "and I will make it an everlasting desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will make slaves of them, even them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands." Now, Judah did not keep the Sabbath day like they were supposed, the Sabbath year like they were supposed to. So God said, okay, for the last 490 years, you didn't keep your Sabbath year, whatever, every 7 years you didn't rest the land like you were supposed to. I'm going to give the land 70 years of rest by having you guys taken captive into Babylon. And so the Babylonian captivity would last 70 years, and in fact it did last 70 years. If you start with 606 BC, the first invasion of Jerusalem, when the first group was taken captive, and you go to 536 BC, you have the 70 years when King Cyrus of Persia decrees that the Jews could return to the Holy Land. The false prophets who were promising peace in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. You know, Jeremiah was saying, hey, repent, Judah, even though Babylon is going to take you captive, God is going to punish you. Well, a lot of these guys are saying, forget that, man, it's going to be peace, there's not going to be war. So look at Jeremiah 8, verses 11 and 12. And they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, declares the Lord. Before World War I, people were saying there's going to be world peace. We've evolved beyond war. Then came World War I. So they called it the war to end all wars, and they said, now we're going to have world peace. But then we got World War II. Now again, people are saying, let's hold hands, we're going to get world peace. Well, what that tells you is that probably World War III is right around the corner. These false prophets were saying, we can disobey the God of Israel and still have peace. Jeremiah was saying, we disobeyed the God of Israel, we're going to get defeated by Babylon. They're going to take us, by a godless nation, they're going to take us captive. We're still in the prophecies of Judah, those first 45 chapters or so. Jeremiah said that it's time, I'm not going to preach peace, but it's time for Judah to submit to divine discipline. Jeremiah's scroll, as I mentioned before, is burned by King Jehoiakim, but he rewrites it, dictates it to Baruch, his scribe. And then Jeremiah is imprisoned by his own people in Jeremiah chapter 37. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 13, 16. For while he was at the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, was there, and he arrested Jeremiah the prophet, saying, you are going over to the Chaldeans. So they were saying, Jeremiah, they were saying, you're a traitor. Here you're saying that the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, are going to take us over. You're a traitor. We need somebody that's going to say, yeah, we can win this war. But Jeremiah said, a lie, I am not going over to the Chaldeans. Yet he would not listen to him. So Irijah arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. Then the officials were angry at Jeremiah and beat him, and they put him in jail in the house of Jonathan the scribe, which they had made into the prison. For Jeremiah had come into the dungeon. Now, if you look in verse 16 of the New American Standard, it says the house of the cistern pit. So it was a cistern that they had turned into a dungeon. For Jeremiah had come into the dungeon, that is the vaulted cell, and Jeremiah stayed there many days. So they imprisoned him. They said, you're a traitor, because you're siding with the Babylonians. He said, no, I'm not siding with the Babylonians, but I'm saying God has told me the Babylonians, he's going to use the Babylonians to take us captive and to punish us because we have sinned against the God of Judah. So then he is taken to Egypt by fleeing Jews when Babylon invades. So Babylon invades and they apparently set him free, and he ends up taken on into Egypt when the Babylonians invade. Prophecies against the nations are given in chapters 46 to 51. Nine nations are mentioned with prophecies against them. Egypt, Philistia, which is the land of the Philistines, Moab, Ammon, Edom, Damascus, which is also referred to as Syria, Arabia, Elam, and Babylon. So prophecies against the Gentile nations. And then the fall of Jerusalem is mentioned in Jeremiah 52. Look at Jeremiah 52, verses 12 to 16. Now on the 10th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, who was in the service of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord, that's the temple, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Even every large house he burned with fire. So all the army of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away into exile some of the poorest of the people. The rest of the people were left in the city, the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon and the rest of the artisans. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. So here is the fall of Jerusalem and people being taken captive and the destruction of the temple. Verses 28 to 30, also speaking about the fall of Jerusalem, of Jeremiah chapter 52, says this: These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away into exile in the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, 832 persons from Jerusalem. In the 33rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried into exile 745 Jewish people. There were 4,600 persons in all. So it's talking about the Babylonians taking the Jews captive, taking them out of the Holy Land. And it wasn't until Cyrus, the king of the Persians, had overthrown the Babylonians that the Jews were allowed to return to the Holy Land. Some key passages of Jeremiah 23. Just two key passages I want to look at, and then we'll go into Lamentations. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. He had promised that the Messiah would come and rule over Judah and Israel. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, the New Covenant. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So these passages give promises the Messiah will come and rule over Judah and Israel, and the fullness of that new covenant. We accept the new covenant by accepting Christ, but the fullness of that new covenant is when Christ will return, and the nation of Israel will be saved and established as the greatest nation on earth through Jesus and his millennial kingdom. Lamentations, the next book we need to cover, also was written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet is the author. The date, it's written after the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred in This is probably the second one, so it's probably after 586 BC. And the theme is that Jeremiah weeps and laments. That's why Lamentations. Jeremiah weeps and laments for the battered city of Jerusalem. And so that is Lamentations, okay? The outline of Lamentations, there's only five chapters to Lamentations. The outline, it's all about Jerusalem, okay? Jerusalem destroyed and afflicted, chapter 1. Look at the first five verses of Lamentations. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces, she has become a forced laborer. She weeps bitterly in the night and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her. Among all her lovers, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she has found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feast. So that nobody's coming to the feast anymore. The temple's been destroyed. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted. And she herself is bitter. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief. Because of the multitude of her transgressions, her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. And so here, Jerusalem, remember when Solomon built the temple and it reached the peak of its glory, this mighty temple, and people were praising God, and now all of a sudden it's reached an all-time low. It's been destroyed and afflicted. It's been defeated. The temple's been demolished. And so now Jeremiah weeps and laments for the battered city of Jerusalem. Part 2, in chapter 2, is Jerusalem punished by God. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 of Lamentations. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and has cast from heaven to earth the glory of Israel, and has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up. He has not spared all the inhabitants, all the habitations of Jacob. In his wrath he has torn down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. A lot of the Jews might be saying, hey, you know, Babylon did this to us. That godless nation Babylon did this to us. Jeremiah in chapter 2 is reminding the people in Lamentations chapter 2. He's reminding them his punishment came from God. God was the one who sent Babylon to do it. Yeah, Tom?
Towards the end of the this book that Nehemiah returned, it doesn't build a wall.
I don't think Jeremiah wrote that that far into it. I think he's just lamenting over this. You'd have to go a lot further before you get that far, because Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah in the 580 BC. No, you wouldn't get much further than that. You've got Nehemiah comes so much later because he was with the third group. This first group was led by Zerubbabel. Then you had Ezra, and then so you got to go 70 years from Jeremiah till Zerubbabel comes back. Then another coming back a little later, and then maybe 60 years later you got Nehemiah. So you got about 130 years gap in there. Chapter 3, again talking about Jerusalem, her prophet, Jeremiah, cries for mercy. Look at chapter 3, verses 19 to 26 of Lamentations. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. The loving kindness is indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. And so the prophet of Jerusalem, Jeremiah himself, cries out for God's mercy. Chapter 4, the horrors of her fall are mentioned. The fall of Jerusalem, the horrors that had occurred there are mentioned. Verses 9 to 13 of Lamentation chapter 4. Better are those slain with the sword than those slain with hunger. For they pine away, being stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of compassionate women boiled their own children. They became food for them because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. So women who were formerly compassionate were now boiling and eating their own, the flesh of their children to sustain them because they were dying of starvation. That's what a nose are. This was once, under David and Solomon, Jerusalem was the greatest nation on earth. They had obeyed the God of Israel and God had blessed them. And now they've dropped to what you would call a third world country. And by the way, America, when we obeyed God, God prospered us. We turn our back on the God of the Bible, we're going to be a third world country someday if we don't turn back real quick. And the verse 11 of Lamentations chapter 4, the Lord has accomplished his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger, and he has kindled a fire in Zion which has consumed his foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. So even the kings of other nations are shocked at how far Jerusalem has fallen. Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who have shed in her midst the blood of the righteous. So now the sins of Israel has led to the horrors of Jerusalem. The sins of Judah has led to the horrors of her fall that are mentioned here. And then finally, chapter 5, Jerusalem, her prayer to be restored. In chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to aliens, because the Babylonians have taken them over. Verses 19 to 22, Lamentations chapter 5, closes with this prayer for restoration. Thou, O Lord, dost rule forever. Thy throne is from generation to generation. Why dost thou forget us forever? Why dost thou forsake us so long? Restore us to thee, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. Thinking back to the stories he heard about the reigns of David and the reigns of David and Solomon and the glory of the whole nation of Israel. Not just Judah, but the whole nation of Israel. Restore us to thee, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless thou hast utterly rejected us and art exceedingly angry with us. And so this book closes with a prayer to be restored. Now, the outline once again, chapter 1, Jerusalem destroyed and afflicted. Chapter 2 of Lamentations, Jerusalem punished by God. Chapter 3, Jerusalem, her prophet cries for mercy. Chapter 4, Jerusalem, the horrors of her fall. And chapter 5, Jerusalem, her prayer to be restored. The theme of Lamentations was Jeremiah weeps and laments for the battered city of Jerusalem. Now we have some time here, and so what I'm going to do is show that this event, the destruction of Jerusalem, was predicted by Moses in 1400 B.C. So about 800 years earlier, it was predicted by Moses. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. This will give us some more added insight to the fall of Jerusalem. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 1 and 2. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. And so if Israel obeyed God, God would prosper them and make them the greatest nation on earth. This is, has a lot of application for America, since we were founded on biblical principles and God, we obeyed God's principles, God prospered us, the number one nation on earth. But now we, like Israel, have gone astray. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So if you obey God's promises, He'll bless your nation. If you disobey Him, God will curse your nation, the nation of Israel. Verses 25 and 26. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. The Babylonians did that to Israel. You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them. You shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses shall be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. Verse 36. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you shall set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And so it said the Lord is going to bring them and their king and to another nation, and they're going to worship other gods there. And again, that is a prediction of the Babylonian, because if the Jews disobeyed God, which they did, then God would punish them this way. Verse 41, you shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. That's what the Babylonians did. They took the people into captivity. 49 to 52 of Deuteronomy 28, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the evil swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance. You shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed. Who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor the increase of your herd, or of the young of your flock, until they have caused you to perish. And it shall besiege you in all your towns, until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout your land, and it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land which the Lord your God has given you. And then verses 56 and 57, the pits, the horrors of the fall of Jerusalem and the greatest nation on earth, the greatest city on earth, how far it had fallen, verses 56 and 57, predicted by Moses. The refined and delicate woman among you, the compassionate woman that Jeremiah talked about, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement, shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes, and toward her son and daughter, and toward her afterbirth which issues from between her legs, and toward her children whom she bears, for she shall eat them secretly for lack of anything else during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in your towns. And so there's the prediction 1400 B.C. by Moses that if the nation of Israel, meaning Israel and Judah, if they turned their back on the Lord would allow them to be taken captive by Babylon, and then things would get so bad during the siege that the compassionate woman of Judah would actually, because they're dying of starvation, would boil and eat their own children. And then one passage I want to close with. We made some good time. We finished a few minutes early, which might get us out of here close to on time today. But Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 to 38, the Jews rejected Jesus. And so like Jeremiah the prophet, who weeped over the Jerusalem of his day, Jesus wept over the Jerusalem of his day. Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus says this, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. And so Jesus weeps and laments over Jerusalem, recognizing that Jerusalem's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be destroyed, the city's going to be sacked a second time, this time not by Babylon, but this time by the Romans in 70 AD. And so Jesus, like Jeremiah, lamented for Jerusalem.